So I apologize if I get a bit emotional today. This is kind of a reflection sermon. As we are going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 17, which is a passage I've preached on several times, and it was one of my first sermons here at New Disciples. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the many gifts that you have given us. We thank you for family and friends and a church home. We ask, Lord God, that you will give us a vision of the future as you would have it be. Help us to take steps of faith, trusting you, knowing your plans are good. We ask that you will speak through your word today, that your spirit will move amongst us, encouraging us and delighting us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 17. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. May God bless the reading of his holy word. So before I came to New Disciples, I was in this search process across the country. When we interview pastors in our denomination, it's not the same as a job search. You don't get to turn in a resume, which is very frustrating because I wanted to turn in a resume. No, you answer questions about your faith walk and where you feel God is calling you. And you don't get hired to a church. You get called to a church. And it's more like dating. You can ask kind of dating-like questions in the process. So as I was going through this process, I had this dream. And this guy came to me in this dream. And I don't remember the details. I wrote it down. I didn't check before today to read the details. But what I still remember is that there was calcium deposits all over this dream. You know how like calcium can build up on like a bathtub or a sink, that kind of white stuff? Like throughout the dream, that was going on. And so there's this ideal, because it was a dream, this ideal of calcium and this firm foundation that milk is kind of like the basics, you know, your very first food, and that calcium builds strong bones. And this ideal that wherever God was calling me to, I was supposed to feed them milk and help them make sure they had strong bones. And so then New Disciples called. And in our discernment and our dating, we decided we'd have first date and then we had second. And then after the third date, it's like, well, maybe you should come visit us. And so then I stood in front of the congregation and I preached a sermon. And that sermon was about liminal space. It was about space in between. And how do we live faithfully in that space? And how, in many ways, that's the space that God works miracles, the space in between. And then you guys invited me to be your pastor. And then Scott and I had to decide, were we going to accept this invitation? So anyways, this passage, though, actually the entire chapter 3 has been a chapter that has guided me in my ministry here at New Disciples. The passage actually talks about feeding milk. I mean, it actually starts first that before you eat solid food, you have milk. And then it talks about that it isn't so much about who the church leader is that we all work together. So one person's planting seed, another person's watering it, that together we are ministering for the gospel. And then it talks about the foundation that we build on. And there's been many times in my life in relationship with you where we've talked about the foundation stones and how we've talked about that has changed over time. The first time I preached on this passage, I had slides up that showed worship as a foundation and Bible study as a foundation and fellowship. And at that time, we didn't have all those things going on. We were trying to figure out what we were going to build as our base as a church. And then we came to a point where we actually had blocks we built with hopes and dreams. And so we come to this passage, and it talks about that what we build will be tested for what it's worth. So it says, if anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. So as I'm preparing to leave New Disciples, that is a terrifying verse for me. Because I know the ministry I've done here, I will only know how good or healthy it was once I leave. And I will only know, looking back, well, did I help you guys build a good foundation or didn't I? That's just terrifying for me as a pastor to think about that. And yet at the same time, as I did, I think about each of you and recognize this, that it's not Apollos, it's not Paul, it's all of us together. And knowing that you guys are the ones that are building and you're choosing the material to build this church. Because it tells us here that the temple of God isn't us individually, it's us together. And so when I leave, that doesn't mean that building's not stopping. You're still building. You're still having disciple groups. You're still worshiping. You're still loving and caring for each other. You hear somebody's in the hospital, you go and visit them. You pray for each other. You're still building. And I'm just one piece of the puzzle. And God will bring other pieces in that puzzle to shape and form this church that God is creating. So going back to the beginning of this, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. I think that helps us to keep things in perspective, that no matter what we do, it's God's work. God's using each of our gifts and each of our talents. And so no matter who is here or who is not here, that it's God that's making that plant grow. And we've seen that here in this church, that God is growing people. God is growing faith. God is growing outreach. God is growing his witness amongst you. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be each rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. I hadn't really caught that part since God's field. The God's building has always stood out to me, but I think it's interesting, the God's field, because of our mission statement of being nourishing bodies and souls with the love of God, that we are God's field. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. So it also reminds us that when we start something that God calls us to, that we're not necessarily going to be the one that finishes it. Or maybe somebody else will start a ministry and we'll be called to step in because they were the starter, but we're the one that keeps it going. Or maybe you're the finisher. Sometimes ministries have to come to an end, and you want them to end well. And so some of us may be called to come into ministry and say, okay, it's time for this ministry to end, and I'm going to make sure we end it well. We have a nice ending to it. I have way too many pieces of paper in my Bible. Okay, that's not for the next sermon, so that's good. As long as I don't lose my notes for the 11:30 service. So we need to look at that as a church and ask those questions of what is my role? Is there some ministry God's calling me to start? Is God calling me to start a Bible study? Is God calling me to visit our homebound? Or is it to look around and say, you know what? We used to be doing this, and whoever was doing it isn't with us anymore. And it's important. I'm going to go pick up where they left off, and I'm going to carry it forward. Or maybe it's your job is to say, you know what, we really should stop doing this. I'm going to be the one that stands up and says, you guys, why are we doing this? I'll help us to kind of clean it up and end well. So I'm going to skip ahead. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. So it has been hard to not have a church building, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been exhausting. And yet we are who we are because we haven't had a church building. Do you get that? Like, we are a flexible people because we haven't had a church building. We've been able to witness to people in ways that we wouldn't have been able to witness if we had a belly. We've learned to be transient. We've learned to be flexible. We've learned not to hold on to our material goods too tightly. We've learned to listen to the Spirit. And although it's been hard not to have that structure, not having that structure has reminded us that we truly are the church. And you know what? Buildings don't last forever. You know that, right? But the church lasts forever. The church lasts through generations and is passed on, and it gets transformed, and it's constantly changing and growing. Church is thousands of years old. How many buildings are thousands of years old? I'm going to go visit a couple in a few weeks. But even so, those buildings that are thousands of years old are not being used the way they were originally intended. But church is continually used the way it's originally intended, which is to proclaim Jesus Christ and to create community and to worship God. So no matter where we're at, if we are preaching and focused on Christ and we are worshiping God and we're creating community, we're being church. And sometimes as we've been on this journey, I've wondered if we're heading to a place as a culture in which church buildings are not necessary. Kind of wondered about that. And I've kind of wondered about, as I've watched churches and buildings, how sometimes buildings shape and form us. You know, we've kind of been formed and shaped by each building we've been at. And how it's kind of nice to be able to have some of that flexibility. And yet a building gives you security. It gives you permission to spill Kool-Aid on the floor and say it's our Kool-Aid, we're responsible. Or it can be like, don't let the kids in here. I care too much about this carpet. I spent too much money on it. So buildings can create us, can give us some freedom, but it can also make us so we lose direction, right? Like we could lose focus. So I guess what I'm trying to share today is that I ask that when the building comes, whatever that may be, whatever that may look like, please keep your flexible spirit. Please continue to be asking the question, how does God want us to be church today? And please don't let a stain on a chair or having everything in the exact same place, like this pulpit that's moving all the time into different places, don't let that get in the way of you worshiping God and loving each other. Because if we love God and we love each other, God's going to do amazing things. And you each are amazing people, and you are part of that temple together, and you are not alone, and God is with you. And it doesn't matter if I'm up here, somebody else is up here. Keeping Christ first, loving each other, you're going to go far. Let's pray. Jesus, we need you to be our foundation stone. We thank you that you are, but we pray that you will continue to be that for each of us individually and each of us as we gather together as a community. God, help us to build on you, Christ. Help us to continue to build a foundation in a church that can stand the test of time, a community of faith that passes on the gospel, the kingdom of God, all of who you are to the next generation. God, help us to build well so it stands the test of time. And help us to remember that each other is part of the church and that we are more important to you than the building. God, bless this congregation. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to multiply. Help us to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you stand and we'll sing Stand Up for Jesus.